This is the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show, brought to you by Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, Farrah & Farrah, Brooks Rehabilitation, Wells Fargo, Geico, Sonny's Barbecue, Cars.com, your local Jacksonville Teal Deals merchants, and by Everbank. Now, to get things started, here's Cole Pepper.
The Jaguars' window open the season, 16-14, the final over the Tennessee Titans. Just about exactly the type of game we expected. A lot of ground action for the Jaguars offensively. A close, low-scoring, physical game. Kind of went right by the script. The Jaguars win it by two and start out the season in first place in the AFC South. Along with Houston, who beat Indianapolis 34-7 today. Marco Coleman will get some comments more detailed a little bit later on, but hey, it's always great to win when you start off with a victory on opening day.
Especially in the fashion in which you had set out to do it. I mean, they accomplished all that I would believe that they had planned to do. Everything worked that they tried, and it was a pretty good win, I would say, for the team.
Plenty to improve on,
definitely,
obviously.
Plenty
to work. The coaches will have plenty to dig around, but hey, when you go in with a new starting quarterback, you're unsure about your how much your running back can take. You don't want to wear him out first game coming back off a knee injury. And you get it all kind of coming together. You get plays made by the defense. You get plays made by the special teams. A lot of different folks contributed to this one.
There was a team win. It didn't rely just completely on just one player or one facet. Everybody contributed today.
All right, we'll talk more with Marco here in just a bit. Let's get you updated on some of the other scores from around the National Football League. We mentioned Houston, Indianapolis. A big day today for the Texans, who whip up on the Peyton Manningless Colts 34-7. Remember, though, that the Texans were playing without Arian Foster, their top running back, but Ben Tate ran 24 times for 116 yards and a touchdown. As part of this ball game, Derek Ward also had a score. Steve Slayton played. They had a lot of work from the running backs in this ball game. Kerry Collins really struggled in this game. 16 of 31, 197 yards and a touchdown. Fumbled a couple of times that set up scores for the Texans. And so it is the Texans and Jaguars beginning the AFC South season with wins. The Colts and Titans, the only two teams who have ever won the AFC South, beginning the division schedule, the whole season schedule, with losses. Elsewhere, Baltimore won a rivalry game today, beating Pittsburgh 35-7. Joe Flacco threw three touchdown passes. And Ray Rice had a touchdown catch and a touchdown run for the Ravens in the victory. Also a final, an upset of sorts in Kansas City. The Chiefs, one of those teams really felt like they were on the doorstep of something big this year. They're going to have to rally after being whipped by Buffalo 41-7. Ryan Fitzpatrick threw four touchdowns against Kansas City in Arrowhead Stadium today. Going on right now, Chicago just seconds away, and now they've clinched it. Chicago with the victory over Atlanta, 30-12, the only Atlanta touchdown coming on a Corey Bierman 50-yard interception return. So that Atlanta offense that we expect so much out of didn't get it going today in Chicago, and at Soldier Field, the Bears win it 30-12. 2 minutes, 15 seconds remaining in the ballgame in Cleveland. Cincinnati leading the Browns 20-17 in the Battle of Ohio, and this ball game has been a back-and-forth affair. Bruce Gradkowski is in for the injured Andy Dalton. Both of those Bengals quarterbacks have thrown touchdowns. The most recent going to rookie A.J. Green to 41 yards to the former Georgia Bulldog. Cleveland has the ball right now, fourth down, trailing by three on their own 46-yard line, having to make a decision on whether to go for it or not. And so this battle for Ohio could come right down to the wire. Also going on right now, Philadelphia a 31-13 lead in St. Louis. The Eagles having very little problem. Sam Bradford knocked out of the ball game. Michael Vick has a couple of touchdown passes. LeSean McCoy has a touchdown run of 49 yards, also a touchdown catch in that ball game for the Eagles. That game has just gone final, 31-13 Philly with the victory. And in Tampa, big day today for Matt Stafford, 305 yards, three touchdowns, and it looked like Detroit might walk away with this one, but Tampa has come back to make it interesting. It's 27-20 with a minute 24 remaining. Detroit is going to punt it away or maybe a long field goal here with fourth down with a minute 24 to play. We'll see how it goes. If they attempt to make a long field goal, it would just about clinch that one. But we'll keep you updated on all the games that have yet to go final and the other ones that are about to start. Just about to kick off in Arizona. Cam Newton will start for the Panthers against Arizona. Minnesota and San Diego playing out west as well. Donovan McNabb gets the start at quarterback for his new team in Minnesota. And Seattle and San Francisco play a West Coast game in the Bay Area, while the Giants and Washington play what should be a very touching game for you. Talked about two cities that were deeply affected by 9/11. Those two cities going at it, a 4:15 kickoff. And then tonight, it's Dallas and the Jets playing in the Meadowlands, and that should be a very poignant moment as well. And then the Monday night games, as always, as has been the case now, the two Monday night games to get things going. New England takes on Miami, and Oakland travels to the mountains to take on the Denver Broncos. GEICO could help you save on more than just car insurance. Call 1-800-947-AUTO for a free quote on motorcycle, renter's insurance, and more. And don't worry, GEICO won't throw a flag for excessive celebrations. All right, the Jaguars getting the start. The AFC South season underway, and a couple of teams 1-0, a couple of teams 0-1. The Jaguars did get it done today, and some of the things that the Jaguars were able to accomplish, things they have done at times before. They're now 11-6 all-time on kickoff weekend. The Jaguars continue to be a terrific team to open up the season. The heat may be a bit of a factor out there, but they did have those air-conditioned benches for both teams.
Must be nice.
Marco's just thinking, where were those when I was playing in Miami?
I was born about 10 years too early.
Jaguars now 15-18 all-time against Tennessee and have won back-to-back games against the Titans as well. And Jack Del Rio now 8-9 in his tenure against the Titans. Marco, when we began the show today, we were early on talking about how many touches Maurice Drew would get, and I had 21. You said 22. We wound up with 24 carries,
okay.
More than you expected, obviously.
Well, I thought it was just going to be a matter of how the game was going. I mean, I knew it was going to be at least 20. I figured that would be a magic number. We had mentioned that also. But you see, I'm pretty sure if they hadn't had gone on and gotten that score, we probably wouldn't have seen any more of Maurice. They had to get him in there to clinch the game.
One of the storylines, I think, in this game, too, was all about new faces making a difference for the Jaguars. You had McCown at quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You had guys like Dwight Lowry, who had the interception at the end of the
Desi
game.
I had to say Desi, too. Desi was pretty instrumental.
Although not a new face. But look at DeJuan Landry, Paul Puzlesny.
Right.
These guys who made a difference. You had DeDrew Coleman, who had a big play. So when you talk about the moves that are made in an offseason, sometimes we make a decision in the preseason that, this is what it's going to be, and then the regular season starts and things look much different. This looked like a much different Jaguars team for most of this game today.
Yeah, most of the game. I mean, you figure with it being the very first game, it was going to be some highs and lows. But, at the end of the day, did you win the game? Did you keep them out of the end zone for the most part? And they did, except for a couple of big plays.
All right, we'll find the latest from the locker room. Let's head there now. Jeff Loggeman standing by with the head coach, Jack Del Rio.
All right, thank you, Cole. And Jack, it's got to feel good. First week of the season, all the questions leading up to this game, and to get the win at home to start the season out the right way.
Oh, yeah, divisional win, start the season 1-0. Watch the New York Jets on TV tonight and play them next week. That's a great beginning to the year.
Offensively, pretty conservative. Got a quarterback who didn't play a lot in the preseason, but you came out pounding the football last year. In December, you ended up rushing for a team record 53 rushes. I don't remember the number of rushes that you had today's game, but it certainly was approaching that. Was that the game plan offensively, to just pound the rock?
Well, we just play to who we are. I mean, that's who we are. We're a run team first. Regardless of who's been the quarterback the last several years, that's how it's been. And so I thought Luke did a nice job making some timely plays today. That big third down reception by Mike Thomas was as big as any. Directed the offense, did a nice job. And so, we ran the ball hard, ran it well. We didn't cash in. You settle for field goals, they can come back and bite you. And almost did there. So glad we were able to close it out in style, give our home crowd, which was awesome today, give them a nice victory, let them share in that victory with us. And now, like I said, we sit back and watch the Jets on primetime, get ready for them next week.
Defensively, you've been saying it all preseason, hey, we're going to be a good defense. And to be honest with you, I was going, okay, I'm ready to see this defense. Show me, because it's, it was preseason. I thought you guys were real solid on defense, certainly stopped the run and contained Chris Johnson.
Yeah, we had one freak play that should have been a sack, could have been a big hit on 5-yard pass over the middle. and end up being a, oh my gosh, out the gate for a big explosive touchdown. So those are the one that's probably the one thing that just kind of takes a little of the luster off this thing for us defensively, but a hell of an effort. You come out, they're a run first team. They couldn't run it, and usually in these games against the Titans, the team that controls the trenches wins the game.
Coach, it looked like Maurice was on a pitch count, so to speak, and so he's not hurt, I would expect.
He's not hurt, and he's not liking it. You know, that's my call. Look, we're just not going to wear him down in one game. We had control of the game. Should not have made it so interesting. We've got to do a better job closing it out. And, we had a number. He had exceeded it. We were trying not to go beyond, and we ended up going a little bit beyond, but you know, he did a nice job for us. Obviously, we rode him and the running game to the victory today.
All right, last question, Coach. Injuries. Derek Cox didn't come back. Mercedes Lewis, we didn't see him at the end of the game.
Yeah, you know, I was told it was a cramp with Mercedes. He went in to get an IV and then never came out. So I don't know what that means yet. And Derek Cox, I did not hear yet either. So I really probably need to go get this before I go in here with the media. Sorry about that, Jeff. I didn't have it for you, but you know, those are the only two guys. I think we got out in pretty good shape, and hopefully those guys don't have anything serious.
All right. Thank you, Jack. Congratulations.
All right. That's the coach's report with head coach Jack DeRio, brought to you in the Winn-Dixie postgame show every week by the good folks at Bubba Burgers, and also the injury report brought to you by Brooks Rehabilitation. Well, fans, you can text BBQ to 72239 and enter for a chance to win the Sonny's Game Ball Delivery Contest. You can hand the game ball to the ref when the Jaguars play the New Orleans Saints here at Everbank Field. And we've got lots of numbers to bring you. Stats check brought to you by Wells Fargo. And you look at the Jaguars here, 323 yards of total offense, 163 on the ground. And we go downstairs where Jeff Loggeman has the quarterback, Luke McCown, 17 of 24. That's 71% completion logs, 175 yards and a 91.5 rating.
Right, thank you, Brian. And Luke, Brian just read your numbers, but, you know, you can sit there and talk about numbers all you want. Sure is sweet to get the victory, the first one at home to start the year out right, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, at the end of the day, that's all that matters. And what's great about this team is that that's all that matters to us. It don't matter who does what. It's not about Mo. It's not about me. It's not about Sadie. It's not about any of us. It's about the Jaguars. And if we come away with a win, we did our job.
Defensively for you guys today, there was talk during the week, hey, you know, let's give the offense field position, get some takeaways. Weren't able to get a whole lot of takeaways except for the one that mattered the most at the end of the ball game, but certainly gave you guys some strong field position for the offense, and you guys were able to convert drives. I think four of the scoring drives you had were 11 plays or more. That's big.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you're going to pound the rock like we are and like we're capable of, you need to sustain drives. And that lends itself to giving our defense rest, obviously making their defense tired. And, you know, again, we established that rhythm early in the game. I think something like 9 of our first 11 were runs. And, you know, we established that rhythm of pounding it, moving the ball, getting ourselves in second and short, third and short, and being able to convert. And I think that was certainly an advantage for us today.
I would have to think that you're ready to get to somewhat of a normal week this coming week after this past week's events.
Yeah, you know, Jeff, I write on my wristband every game a scripture that I've kept with me. I've been doing this since ninth grade, and it says, "A man's heart plans the way, but the Lord directs his steps." It's Proverbs 16:9, and certainly there was a kind of a weird way of getting to this point, but I trust in the Lord, and he guides me, and give him praise for that today.
Thank you, Luke.
You got it, Jeff. Thanks.
All right, that's quarterback Luke McCown. Again, 17 of 24. That is a 71% completion rate. 175 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions, 91.5 passer rating. And we return with more of the Winn-Dixie postgame show after this timeout on Jaguars Radio. This portion of the Winn-Dixie postgame show is brought to you by Cars.com. And we're back at Everbank Field. Jeff Loggeman is in the locker room with Jaguars cornerback Drew Coleman, who had 5 tackles, a sack, strip, had a big impact on the game today. Wouldn't you say, Loggy?
Yeah, I'd say certainly that. And Drew, a big win for your football team. You know, all preseason long, the head coach was talking about, hey, we're going to be good on defense. And you guys probably felt that, but it probably had to be even bigger to see it.
Oh, definitely. You know, for the defense to come in, you know, knowing them guys was capable of, you know, making big plays at any given time, for us to come in and kind of closed out the game. We started fast. You know, first half we did a great job, and then kind of got relaxed, come back out of halftime. Knew they was an explosive offense. But, you know, got on the sideline, made corrections, told everybody to stay in tune. You know, they still got to score to win. And, you know, best thing I like about the group, we know we fight to the end. You know, main thing we talking about on the sideline was finishing. And you know, we knew they was going to make a run. So, main thing we stressed was finish on the sideline, and that's what we did. And, you know, proud, you know, 1-0, and you know, put this celebrate tonight, you know, and get ready for the Jets next week.
It was exciting to me watching this game kind of unfold because, you know, yourself, Paul Posluszny, Clint Session, DeJuan Landry, and then at the very end of the game, your old teammate from the New York Jets, Dwight Lowry, making plays. I mean, this defense really is a lot of pieces that got to come together pretty quick, and it did in the first game.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, with coming in, you know, we have all them group, all the different people from different, you know, different organizations. You know, we came in, we all gelled, we all bought into the system, you know, Jack and Tuck and Corey and them guys that was putting in, we all bought into it. We felt, you know, great about the game plan. We can go out, execute. We knew what we was doing. We could play fast. And that was the main thing we was focusing on, playing fast, knowing what we was doing, communicating while we was out there. And we did an excellent job. We got a lot to do, but, you know, that's what we practice for. You know, we got to get back to the drawing board. But we did an excellent job today of you know, getting that first game on as far as communication within the real game, the whole game. So I think we did an excellent job, but we got a lot of work to do, and we'll continue to get better, I think.
How big will it be to get to the next week? Because, you know, there was so much talk this past week about the quarterback change 5 days before the opener, to have a week where the questions aren't really centered around that.
I mean, yeah, that was something for us, you know, a big move. But, you know, a lot of the vet guys here will say that, you know, I think second time that's done happened. So with us coming in, you know, we feed behind those veteran guys from here. You know, we kind of got to come in, follow their lead. So we came in, and they was professionals about it. And you know, Luke is our quarterback, and we all rallied behind him. He did a tremendous job today. And then as a defense, we just got to play our part. You know, try to get him back the ball as quick as possible, get him more possessions, and just let him manage the game like he did. And I think it was a complete game win for all of us.
All right, thank you, Drew.
No problem.
That's Drew Coleman, Jaguars nickelback and a former New York Jet, and he just said it kind of matter-of-factly, you know, we'll get ready to play the New York Jets. And what he's really saying is, I'm going to play my old team next week up in New York. Jaguars 1-0, and of course, if you didn't know, the Jets play tonight against the Dallas Cowboys. That is Sunday Night Football. So get a look at a football team that's been in the AFC Championship game a couple of times in the last few years and is a very talented bunch. Jaguars going to have their hands full up at the new Meadowlands. I think they call it MetLife Stadium now, so we've got plenty of time this week. Our Bueller Swiss Watch MVP will receive a Bueller Swiss Watch, the official watch of the Jacksonville Jaguars. You can get yours at Jacobs Jewelers in Jacksonville, Faceted Rainbow in Ocala, Lorraine's Diamond Tree in Middleburg, Treasures Fine Jewelers in Palatka, and J. Carbone Jewelers in Valdosta. And Maurice Jones-Drew is that man, and he is with Jeff Loggeman after a 97-yard, one-touchdown performance. Jeff?
All right, thank you, Brian. I'm sitting here kind of laughing because I asked Maurice, I said, you're a little angry on the sideline there. You know, they're trying to control your pitch count, so to speak, as I said to head coach Jack Del Rio, and you didn't like it a whole lot.
I mean, it's a coach's decision. I have to respect that, but, I mean, I'm fully healthy, so, you know, it is what it is for right now.
You felt good, though, didn't you? I mean, from watching you out there, your legs look fresh, look strong. And there was a lot of questions, you know, would you feel fresh and would you look strong in the first game?
I felt great. Offensive line did a great job blocking Greg Jones, Brock, Mercedes, the tight ends. Everyone did a great job, got us one-on-one with safeties and corners, which is great. Got into a good rhythm, and we were able to get a big lead, and that's what matters the most. Defense played great. Kind of got it closer than what we wanted to, but, you know, it's football. You got to go through some adversity here and there.
How crazy was this past week's events, but it had to make it even sweeter to get the victory in the first week?
Well, that's the business of the game. You know, it's tough that last week, in regards if it's a rookie free agent or if it's a veteran starting quarterback. I mean, you feel the same about everybody. So it was a decision that the front office made. We had to just keep moving on, and we did. Luke did a great job today creating some plays with his feet, throwing it. The receivers were making plays, tight ends. Everybody got a chance to get in the game. So it was that was a positive note to see everybody react. The defense played stout against a top rusher, and we just got to keep growing off that.
All right, thank you, Morris. Congratulations.
Thanks, no problem.
That's our Bueller Swiss Watch MVP with Jeff Loggeman in the locker room. Maurice, 24 carries, 97 yards. That's a 4.0 yard per carry average, and he had the 21-yard touchdown that gave the Jaguars a 7-0 lead. Deji Kareem, 14 carries for 33 yards. Montel Owens, 3 for 17. The Jaguars, 47 rushing attempts, 163 yards. It waters it down on average to 3.5, and they scored the touchdown. The flip side is that Chris Johnson just didn't have the ball in his hands very often. 9 rushes for him for 24 yards. He also had 6 catches for 25 yards. So a very minimal impact by CJ today. You know that won't last as he gets into football shape. He is one of the game's best. He's certainly one of the highest paid. Told you McCown's number, Hasselbeck, 21 of 34 for 263, 2 scores. One of them was just the craziest play we've seen. And an interception at the end to end the game, 93.1 his rating. Kenny Britt, 5 for 136 and 2 scores. Mike Thomas led the way for the Jaguars, 8 for 55. Jason Hill, 4 for 53. Of course, the Jaguars did not have a touchdown in the passing game. Time now for our Bud Play of the Game, brought to you by Budweiser, who reminds you great times are waiting. Please designate a driver. We're going all the way back to the first quarter, the first drive. Jaguars stuffed the Titans 3-and-out, got the ball back, and went right down the field. Here's why this first quarter touchdown by Maurice Jones-Drew is our Bud Play of the Game. Because the Jaguars heard all the swirling nonsense about quarterback distraction and they're not ready to play and blah, blah, blah from the national media. And the truth is they were ready to play, and they showed the Titans that they were going to do what they do. And the Titans lined up to stop it. It's just they couldn't. Here's our Bud Play of the Game. McCown under center on first down. Hands the ball. There goes Drew. He's up the middle. He's going to the end zone. 10-5 touchdown Jacksonville. First of the season for Maurice. He is our Bueller Swiss Watch MVP, and that is our Bud Play of the Game, brought to you by Budweiser, who reminds you that great times are waiting. Please designate a driver. I'd like to thank the good folks at CopyFax for printing our game boards. They are the exclusive provider of business machines to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Thanks, Jason and the guys at CopyFax. TJ Strite in the booth with the start of the regular season. My spotter, we needed him today. There were so many guys rolling in and out of the starting lineup because of the heat. Scott Kushner making sure we stay on the air. Everything smooth and simple. And, of course, Jaguars Radio just wouldn't be Jaguars Radio without Joe Fortunato up here. Jolton Joe, as we like to call him. And we hope you enjoyed our broadcast this afternoon with all the pomp and circumstance. Really had to work to make sure that we got everything covered for all those pregame festivities, and they certainly were outstanding. And we appreciate you, Joe Cole and Marco and Linda and Ed, the whole crew, Craig Compcho, there to make sure that you enjoy the rest of the Winn-Dixie postgame show, and then they take your calls on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show after this. Folks, 16-14, the final score. Jaguars win it over the Titans. On the Jaguars Radio Network. Good night.
Taking a family of five to the amusement park can cost a small fortune.
Oh, yeah. So to save some money, we thought, hey, let's bring the amusement park to us.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
All right. Step right up. Step right up, young man. Are you ready to ride the Wacky Waterfall?
That's just the bathtub with the shower head running.
Nope, it's the Wacky Waterfall.
It's the shower, Dad.
Waterfall.
It's wacky.
There's an easier way to save. Get online. Go to Geico.com. Get a quote. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
The best teams are strong at every position. The best banks are no different. That's why EverBank is proud to offer Jaguars fans the strongest opportunities in banking, lending, and investing. From high-yield checking and money market accounts to foreign currencies to flexible mortgage options. Start winning today with EverBank. Visit your local financial center, call 623-EVER, or visit everbank.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Car insurance isn't about the car. It's about the precious cargo the car carries. It's about providing security and confidence that if an accident occurs, that you will be protected. As a local, independent agent, we can design an insurance program that's just right for you and your family. Providing safe, sound, secure insurance protection from Auto Owners Insurance.
Insurance Office of America, transforming the insurance industry to serve you better.
Now you can make the call and save big with the Jaguars 4-Game Flex Pack. Starting at just $50 per game, you can build your own 4-Game mini-season ticket and save up to 20% compared to game day prices. The 4-Game Flex Pack comes with the October 9th game against the Cincinnati Bengals at EverBank Field. Then it's up to you to pick any 3 remaining home games to complete your 4-game flex pack. Call 633-2000 or visit Jaguars.com to build your money-saving 4-game flex pack today.
We welcome you back to the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show following the Jaguars' 16-14 victory over the Titans, the division-leading Jaguars' victory over the Titans. Joined now here by Marco Coleman, as always, and pleased to be joined by Veteran center Brad Meester for the rest of your career, by the way. You're no longer center Brad Meester. You have to be veteran center Brad Meester.
Come start calling him old school. I think that's what we can do now.
He's been around for a lot of these openers and had good success in openers through the years. But when you win the opener, everything that happened in the preseason, good or bad, forget about it. Now you're 1-0 and you're on your way.
It's a huge thing to get off to a fast start, to start out 1-0, and especially when the team is a division rival and it's in a home game like this. I mean, you've got to get those wins, and when you get off to a fast start, you know, great things happen.
Did you know going in how much of a grinded out game it was going to be? Not just because it was the Titans, but also because of, you know, the quarterback situation. Did you expect it to be such a kind of a controlled, measured approach?
I would say yes, because that's just kind of how we play Tennessee, I guess. You know, I think every time that we play them, it's a physical game. Yeah. It's a running game. No matter, you know, it's a different head coach, but it's still Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And that's the way it's always been since I've been here. So, you know, I had that feeling that it was going to be a grinded out game.
Being on the field before the game, was the emotion different with the 9/11 tributes and so forth?
Definitely. It was definitely an emotional day. You know, even waking up in the morning and seeing the TV, mm-hmm. And them replaying that stuff, it really touches. It's very emotional. Seen it firsthand, you know, watching it on TV and then now seeing it again, just knowing how it affected everybody so much, definitely emotional.
Yeah, the running game today, dominant, you know, as it's been, you know, number three in the league last year. You guys continued that today. But I saw Rackley had a couple of moments where, you know, a little uneasy. You could tell he was a rookie. Tell me a little bit about his development and how things are coming along for him right now.
I think Rackley's done a tremendous job for us. you know, most guys that come in get an entire offseason to learn a system, mm-hmm. To fully understand a system. You know, and then once training camp comes, and you already know it, and then you're just learning the little things about it. Well, you know, they had to come in and learn an entire system in a few weeks.
Yeah, and getting conditioned.
Yes, and the conditioning part. I mean, he has done a tremendous job. Obviously, you know, there's always those growing things. You know, mm-hmm. It was the same way with me my first year. You know, you learn on the fly sometimes.
And you were playing guard too.
I was playing guard then too. You know, I was learning things because you just mm-hmm. there's so many things that come at you that you don't see on paper sometimes. You know, you learn as you go. And what I like about Rackley is he's done a great job of continuing to develop. You know, he does a great job in the classroom, mm-hmm. Constantly learning, constantly watching film, and that's what's going to make him a great player.
So what are the true keys to you guys being so effective as an offensive line of running? I mean, you know, MJD definitely does a great job, but a lot of times it's not until he reaches the second level before he actually sees a defender. So that means you guys are completely taking care of things on that, you know, against that offense, against the defensive line. So what are some of the things you guys are doing offensive line-wise to prepare yourselves to be so dominant?
Well, we're doing a couple things. I mean, first off, we know when going into a game that we have to be physical. That's mm-hmm. That's what our strong point is going to be. We've got to be physical mm-hmm. up front and move some guys. But what we've been doing a great job of, I think, more so than we've ever done, is just the studying and the communication we have up front. The getting together after practices and just going through film and just, you know, making calls, constantly learning. You know, it's those things that are going to take us to the next level because, you know, you see those things on film and then when they happen in the game, you've already rehearsed it. You know, you've already mentally rehearsed it. So it's helping us take us to
dominant
the next level.
Dominant performance today. Dominant. Really
and
dominant.
And against a team, obviously, with a lot of new components in the as the Jaguars do too, especially on defense, but Tennessee's got a lot of new components. Next week you'll see a team that's got a lot of their same components back from last year in the Jets, a team, a playoff team, and made a deep run. Not a whole lot of chance to celebrate. The old 24-hour rule, I'm sure, kicks in.
Definitely. You know, we'll come back and, you know, we'll celebrate tonight. There's no doubt. You know, this is, you know, anytime you win, you want to celebrate a little bit. But when we come back in tomorrow, you know, we'll watch the film, get better, you know, make the corrections we need to, and then it's on to the Jets. I mean, we'll start watching film already tomorrow, getting our minds right for them. They're a really good team, a great defense, great 3-4 mm-hmm. defense. So we've really got to rehearse that in our head because it is a little bit of a different defense for us. So we've got to mentally prepare ourselves.
You're going to have a load to deal with right there in front of you with that 3-4 with a nose guard on.
Definitely. 3-4s are always a challenge for a center. But, you know, we play quite a few of them. I mean, there's a lot of teams that we'll play that are 3-4. So, you know, you just got to kind of get used to it and just go out and do it.
Brad, thanks a lot for stopping by. Congratulations on the win. We'll see you in the locker room this week.
All right. Thank you.
All right. That's Jaguars veteran center Brad Meester stops by.
Old school.
The longest tenured Jaguar. great to see Brad here after the victory. We'll take time out. Still to come, we'll hear from Jeremy Mincy, the former Gator and current Jaguar, and we'll analyze the Jaguars' 16-14 victory over the Titans. Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. More of the Winn-Dixie postgame show right after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio. We welcome you back to the Winn-Dixie postgame show following the Jaguars' 16-14 victory over the Tennessee Titans. Jaguars 1-0 on the season. Marco Coleman here again, and we'll be joined here shortly by Jeremy Mincy. But we were talking to Brad Meester just a moment ago, and a guy who's been a part of an awful lot of those victories. And we'll talk to a guy who's finally getting his chance out there on an opening day. And, yeah, just pull up there. You can grab headphones if you need to, but we're loud enough. Mince, you'll probably be able to hear us. Hey, always great to start with a win.
Definitely. It's always great to start with a win. Guys went out there and played with heart, man, and we've been working hard, and I think we're going to be pretty good.
You know, it's funny because throughout the course of the preseason, players kept telling me, yeah, we're going to be pretty good. You said, hey, I think this defensive line is a pretty good group. We're coming together. We've got some guys. Meester was saying it. Campman was saying it. Mercedes is saying it. People are saying, we're going to be pretty. But there wasn't a lot to hang on to in the preseason. So how much different was it having almost everybody out there? And game planning and everything else, how much different was it for that for you guys on the defensive line than it was during the preseason?
It's completely different. You know, your preseason mentality is a little different from season mentality. Guys basically in survival mode. Nobody wants an injury during preseason, especially not I, because I've been injured in preseason too many times, and I'm not trying to go through that again.
Good to see you helping.
You've been through that. Right? And first play of the season, your defensive end cohort, Matt Roth, sack right away, and after so many struggles and all the stories and all the interviews and everything else, when the sack's coming, first play, here's a sack.
Oh, definitely, man. You know what? We actually planned for it. We was going to – Coach kept saying, let's get a sack the first series. He kept saying, I wish it would have been me, but, you know, I was getting back there a lot, but close with no cigar, but we'll get it fixed.
How much of a factor was the heat today?
It was a big factor. You know, we used to it, man. We've been grinding in this heat for the last month or two, so it was a big plus for us. It looked like those guys were a little hot and winded and hot and bothered.
And that's a good thing, home field advantage.
Definitely, definitely.
Well, you know, talk about yourself, man. You know, your fourth season, and to me, coming in, the way you've been working, seeing you through the summer and then this game and being all over the place, it seems like you're kind of developing into the defensive line leader. I mean, how do you feel about your position as a defensive line core and as his perspective?
Well, this is actually my sixth year. A lot of people don't know, but those 2 years I was injured, I kind of, found myself saying that I'm actually a football player. You know, I accepted my role, the good Lord don't put you in no position that you're not supposed to be in, and I just embraced my role and started working a lot harder, because once you find out what you are supposed to be, you're going to work a lot harder at it.
It seems like they're depending on you quite a bit. I mean, coming in there, stuffing the run at that defensive end spot, then coming in there at that three technique on the pass rush. Now, tell me about a little bit of that adjustment, you know, coming from the end and then coming in at a three technique and pass rushing at that position as opposed to defensive end.
You know, it's kind of funny because my coach actually did that to me in high school. They would put me in the three tech and pass rush. And then I'll play in and pass rush from time to time. And I actually like getting a lot of reps because they don't do nothing but build me up for the next game. So I just get sharp as the season goes.
Yeah, the more you can do, man. You're going to line up and I have a line up a nose guard sometimes. Just do it all. You know, there's nothing wrong with that.
I'll play wherever they put me.
Mark, sure. Did you say you lined up a nose guard?
I did. Actually, one season in San Diego, you know, everybody got hurt. Guy first played, only defensive tackle, the last defensive tackle we had, they stuffed me in there at nose guard. And this was against Terrell Davis when they were out there doing it, too. But, hey, man, you're showing the same type of ability that where you can play anywhere on that defensive line.
You know, it's funny, Mince, too, because a lot of folks make the comparison between you and Paul Spicer. You know, high motor guy, get out there and just want to play. And Spice did some of the same things, playing defensive end, defensive tackle. He's been around. I don't know if you've had a chance to talk with him much about that sort of swing position and going from end to defensive tackle in those situations or not.
I was here actually to watch Spice his last 3 years as a Jaguar. You know, I picked up a lot from him. he's a guy who's inspired me a lot because we have like similar situations personally and football wise. So, you know, he's a guy just look at his game and kind of mold it around and hopefully add my own little spice to it.
You're more athletic than Spicer, though.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And younger. Right? Yeah. Better looking. You know, just take all
you
that
know,
stuff.
I'll take it.
All right, next week, Jets, one of the teams, you know, premier team last year, one of the premier teams in the AFC, going up to the Big Apple. Should be a big stage.
Oh, definitely. I love it, man. We love challenging. That's the thing I love about this team this year, man. Like, it's almost like 300, man. We got, you know, we got Jack as the leader and everybody ready, man. And the guys, we up for the challenge. Nobody's scared of anybody in this league.
Always, as we mentioned, always good to start with a win. The division-leading Jaguars will go up to New York next week. See if you can keep that title for another week, right?
There it is. Congratulations on the win, man.
Thank you. Thank
Jeremy Mincy, Jaguars defensive end, joining us here on the Winn-Dixie postgame show. Mince, we'll see you in the locker room this week. We'll take time out when we come back. We'll analyze this game, take a look at some of the numbers, as well the Sexton summary. Also still to come, the good, the bad, and the ugly from today's game. This is the Winn-Dixie postgame show here on the Jaguars Radio Network.
When you're ready to start saving for whatever is around the corner, at Wells Fargo, we're with you. With the Way to Save savings account exclusively from Wells Fargo, you can save money automatically. If you choose our Save As You Go option, we'll automatically transfer $1 from your Wells Fargo checking account to your Way to Save account when you make a debit card purchase, pay a bill with Wells Fargo Online Bill Pay, or make an automatic payment. Call, click, or stop by Wells Fargo today to learn more about our Way to Save account. Wells Fargo. Together we'll go far. Wells Fargo Bank N.A. Member FDIC.
Xfinity presents the NFL moments we live for.
Fourth and goal. It's make or break time.
It's the line that separates the mighty from the meek.
Williams cuts it to the sideline.
And the heroes from the humble.
He dives for the pylon.
One very thin line.
And the ball just crosses the goal line. Touchdown!
These are the moments you don't want to miss. And with Xfinity, you never will.
Sign up for the HD Premier XF Triple Play with NFL Red Zone and NFL Network included and get up to $200 back. Or ask about our other bundles starting as low as $99 a month for a year. Call 1-800-XFINITY today. Xfinity, your home for the most live sports.
Offer ends 1/31/12. Restrictions apply. Equipment, installation, taxes, franchise, and phone fees extra. Two-year contract required with prepaid card offers. Visit Comcast.com for details.
Business insurance. It's not just about the bricks and mortar and inventory. It's about the people who rely on the business, the customers, the employees, and you. As an independent agent, we can tailor a program that's just right for you. Invest in safe, sound, secure insurance protection from Auto Owners Insurance. The no problem people.
Insurance Office of America, transforming the insurance industry to serve you better.
We welcome you back to the Winn-Dixie postgame show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here after the Jaguars' 16-14 victory over the Tennessee Titans. Let's talk about the quarterback play today. We knew that it was not going to be a wide-open, sling-it-all-over-the-yard kind of approach. It never is against the Titans. It rarely is with the Jaguars at all. And with a quarterback getting his first start with the Jaguars, Luke McCown, even though he's been here for 3 years, we didn't expect that. But, boy, very efficient with what he did. 17 of 24, 175 yards, quarterback rating 91.5. And the one throw that really stood out to me was the throw he made to Mike Thomas in the fourth quarter on that deep in route.
That was the highlight of the game, for I think, because he made a throw that came at a time where they had to have a big throw to keep the drive alive. I had to give my hat off to Dirk Cutter, because he did the things to build confidence and maintain control. And he didn't. It was a lot like the remedy to keep wins going when he had David was rely on your big-time playmaker, that's MJD, and just allow your quarterback to just do the throws that's necessary to just keep the drives alive and not give up the game. And they did a great job of that.
You know, and I will praise on one hand and scold on the other. I don't know if it was a design play of what, but on that same drive, it was 3rd and 5 at the 47-yard line. And they're on a quick timing out pattern to Brock Bolin?
Well, I got that listed as something not really good, you know, for later. But definitely, that wasn't the play. And it was at a time where they could have needed to keep the drive going. And they gave, you know, the Titans another opportunity by not making that play. And I would think that you would have called a different play you know, to a different guy at that time, that point in time in the game.
Jaguars' time of possession, this is talking about impressive numbers. Nearly 40 minutes time of possession, 39-38 to 20 minutes, 22 seconds for the Titans. The Jaguars would take a lot of games this year, particularly in the heat, with that kind of time of possession advantage, almost 2-1.
Oh, when you can do that, that's dominating the game. And then you figure defensively coming right back out and getting them off of the field. They go hand in hand. You know, it's hard to really control the game if the other team's offense also is having just that much more opportunity than your offense. They did a great job of controlling the ball. McNown, hats off, and controlling this game.
And I think you can say the Jaguars, you can make the case.
McCown.
They're fortunate to have won this game in some regards. They outplayed the Titans, there's no doubt.
Definitely.
But there are a couple crazy plays, not the least of which being that little chicken wing backhanded flip to Kenny Britt that people, I mean, it just one of those plays that didn't look like it belonged on a football field, the way it all kind of came together. And that went 90 yards. And the Jaguar, you know, sometimes you have a game where you outplay the other team, but you just don't get it in the end zone. You wind up kicking field goals and a couple of crazy plays happen. The next thing you know, you're in the L column. Happen today for the Jets.
That would be one of the only things I would say offensively that was an issue, was getting not turning those really good drives into scores. Now, fortunately, they're playing the Tennessee Titans. That's also recognized and put in perspective who they were playing. Now, you play a lot of different teams. If you don't come up with scores in those circumstances, you put yourself behind the eight ball.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, defensively, a couple of sacks. Got him early. Didn't have a lot of pressure
with the four-man rush. Everything was with the blitzes.
Yeah.
Well, except for the first sack.
First sack was on
was really good. Fortunately, it wasn't Michael Vick, too.
Right. Yeah. You're not going to get juked too much by Matt Hasselbeck, yeah. I don't think. But, you know, they got some pressure.
Made the play.
And it wasn't a situation where they had absolutely no pressure at all game long. So even without Campman, where do you gauge this group?
They made the plays when they had to have them. You know, Derek Cox with the big interception, stopping the drive. That's the whole thing. It's not allowing them in the end zone. And you figure the one play, you know, Sessions, I have no idea what he was looking at and how he missed that. I mean, although they did get that flip off and missed the sack, there was an opportunity to stop that play with Sessions and not making that tackle. You know, they do that. I mean, it was a heck of a play on the touchdown. I mean, you figure Britt goes up, heck of a throw by Hasselbeck, heck of a catch. It's really going to be tough to stop that. But other than that, I would say defensively, this was an outstanding game for him.
And special teams, not a lot to complain about. Ball down deep inside the five. You had a bunch of touchbacks. You had Scobie making a couple of field goals.
The punting was a little I could say Turk could pick it up.
Late in the game, when they needed one, he really hit a boomer.
And that was the whole key throughout the whole game. When the Jaguars need to play, whether it be offensively, defensively, or special teams, they did it when they needed it. That's for sure.
And the Jaguars got the victory, 16-14, the final. When we come back, the highlights, the Sexton summary straight ahead, plus still to come, the good, the bad, and the ugly. This is the Winn-Dixie postgame show after the Jaguars' season-opening victory here on Jaguars Radio. Back here on the Winn-Dixie postgame show, Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman, after the Jaguars win it 16-14 over the Tennessee Titans. Time now for the Metro PCS Sexton summary, the highlights and lowlights of today's game through the calls of the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton. Well, the Jaguars early on got it going on defense. First play of the game, Matt Roth recording a sack, then they stuffed Chris Johnson and forced a three plays and out. Got the ball back at their own 37-yard line and began a very methodical offensive drive. 11 plays, 63 yards. Methodical on the method was running the football. 9 runs, 6 of them for Maurice Jones-Drew, including the first score of the game.
McCown under center on first down. Hands the ball off. There goes Drew. He's up the middle. He's going to the end zone. 10-5 touchdown, Jacksonville. 21 yards, and the Jaguars are on the board for the first time this season.
7-0 Jaguars with 6:49 remaining in the quarter. Jaguars defense was getting it done against Tennessee, including pitching a three plays and out on the next Tennessee possession. Then a Drew Coleman sack that forced the fumble, although Tennessee recovered and had to punt it away. Jaguars got it back. Josh Scobie's 48-yard field goal made it a 10-0 game. And of the Jaguars' first 20 plays, 16 of them were running plays. Jaguars led it 10-zip at the break. Jaguars got things going after a pass from Luke McCown to Jason Hill of 16 yards, and then McCown converting on a 4th-and-1 on a quarterback sneaker. Tried to get it to the same thing on a 3rd-and-1, but a fumbled snap between Brad Meester and McCown turned the ball over to the Titans. Again, the Jaguars defense rose to the occasion, got the ball back, and Josh Scobie booted through a 21-yard field goal, and the Jaguars led it 13-0. It looked like the Titans offense was going to have absolutely nothing to contribute to the ball game until this crazy play.
Here comes the corner blitz. Hasselbeck under pressure is about to get hit. He's going to try to turn and run. He's going to get it and throws the ball. Oh, wow. What is this? Kenny Britt caught it. He's down the sideline. This is going to be an 80-yard touchdown run. Kenny Britt just grabbed the ball that Hasselbeck threw at the last second to get rid of it. And Britt was behind the coverage and got it.
And the Jaguars, with that, wound up suddenly seeing their lead shrink to 13-7 after Josh Scobie's 45-yard field goal made it a two-score game again at 16-7. Tennessee came back one more time, a 12-play, 80-yard drive, and this time a more traditional Hasselbeck to Kenny Britt hookup.
Takes the snap, quickly turns and wants to throw, and this one's going to be... What do they call it?
I don't know.
Touchdown.
I don't know about this.
Touchdown. Kenny Britt, second of the ball game.
It was, after review, a touchdown. Made it 16-14, but the Jaguars hung on to the victory. Dwight Lowry's interception cinched it with 16 seconds remaining, and the Jaguars with a win 16-14. That was the Metro PCS Sexton Summary. With no signed contracts, Metro PCS lets you unlimit yourself. We'll take timeout, come back with the coverage of the game and the protector of the game. It's all straight ahead on the Winn-Dixie postgame show after the Jaguars beat the Titans 16-14 here on Jaguars Radio. We welcome you back to the Winn-Dixie postgame show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here. Time now for the Baptist Health coverage of the game. Baptist Health, Jacksonville's circle of care. Here's a coverage of the game, Marco.
Well, I'm going to say Mr. Lowry.
Clinched it with the interception.
Yeah, it's sealing the deal. You know, catching that ball was a terrible throw by Hasselbeck, but being there, making the catch, putting icing on this thing, great play.
And a time now to name the protector of the game. It's brought to you by the Insurance Office of America. Who was the protector of the game on that Jaguars offensive
line? Well, I'm going to have to say the offensive line, the tight ends, and the fullbacks. When you can run the ball the way these guys ran the ball today, you need to give a game ball to all those guys. And I would say they did a great job of disregard, because you had, what, four different runners, mm-hmm. and all of them had good running day.
So you're going with Monroe, Rackley, Meester, Waneri, Lewis,
Potter,
Greg Jones, Montel
Bolin,
Owens, Brock Bolin,
the whole kid.
Anybody who was throwing a block out there
all,
in the run game,
they all
you liked
did a
it.
Great job. You know, because the majority of the time, the runners didn't get touched until they got to the linebackers or into the secondary.
What did I tell you about Montel Owens running the football, by the way? Hey, told you to be able to help out.
Is that offensive line?
I told you to be able to help
Greg
out.
Jones got to carry two for about 4 or 5 yards, too.
He did.
Give Greg the ball.
Don't throw it to Greg.
Don't throw it to him.
Let him block.
Oh,
it'll
just
be fine.
Hand it to him, please.
And then we'll go. All right. To come back with the good, the bad, and the ugly after the Jaguars 16-14 victory over the Titans, this is the Winn-Dixie postgame show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Finally, all the talk is over. This is Tony Boselli, and nobody's happier than I am that we're back to football. Now, it's time for Jacksonville to stand up. It's go time. Time to show your true colors, just as you always have. Time to put your faith and your spirit behind our city and our team. It's time to join the Team Teal effort to show everyone that Jacksonville means big-time football and big-time fans. Call 633-2000 or visit Jaguars.com to get your tickets now. It's go time, Jacksonville.
Xfinity presents the NFL moments we live for.
Fourth and goal. It's make or break time.
It's the line that separates the mighty from the meek.
Williams cuts it to the sideline.
And the heroes from the humble.
He dives for the pylon.
One very thin line.
And the ball just crosses the goal line.
These are the moments you don't want to miss. And with Xfinity, you never will.
Sign up for the HD Premier XF Triple Play with NFL Red Zone and NFL Network included and get up to $200 back. Or ask about our other bundles starting as low as $99 a month for a year. Call 1-800-XFINITY today. Xfinity, your home for the most live sports.
Offer ends 1/31/12. Restrictions apply. Equipment, installation, taxes, franchise, and phone fees extra. 2-year contract required with prepaid card offers. Visit Comcast.com for details.
Jaguars fans always win when they bank with EverBank, which offers the most innovative products in banking, lending, and investing. Visit your nearest financial center, and our banking specialists will help you take advantage of the high yields on our yield pledge checking and money market accounts. Or, if you need a mortgage, we'll help you lock in the most competitive rates. Don't miss this opportunity to bank with your hometown team at EverBank, proud sponsor of the Jaguars. Visit your local financial center today or find one at everbank.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Welcome back to the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show. Jaguars win it 16-14 over the Tennessee Titans. It's time now for an opening day version.
We ready.
Of the good, the bad, and the ugly with Marco Coleman. Marco, what do you have on the good side?
Let me say, on the good side, that running game. I mean, completely dominant. You know, they can do that all season with those many guys touching the ball and being effective. They definitely going to be in a good position and get that playoff berth that I so much
predicted.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You
yes,
wouldn't
sir.
Go out on the line and say winning record, but you would say playoff. For you'd look at 7-9 to win the division.
And if you can run the ball like that and be so physical, I mean, provided health. But one of the things that we did get to see is, you know, a lot of guys can get the touches. And that offensive line, no matter who you put back there, they mashed. Fullbacks, tight ends, great job on the running game.
How about the bad?
Bad, I'm going to have to say that call when on, you know, third down, you know, trying to ice the game, and throw the ball to Bowman. I mean, of all guys, to seal the deal in the game, you got so many different other players that you could do. I just don't think that was a good call, you know, in a crucial time. It gave the ball back to the Titans with an opportunity. You never know what can happen with only a field goal needed to win the game. That wasn't a good move, I thought, on their part.
And the ugly?
Ugly was probably the only blemish on an outstanding defensive day. That flip pass from Hasselbeck and my man Sessions. You know, I think Sessions is an outstanding linebacker. And for him, the perfect opportunity for a kill shot.
Yep.
Come on, man. You missed this. It was a big target. I mean, Britt is not a little guy.
No.
Sessions either had one of his dreads in his eye or he closed his eye or something. But it was a very ugly play on a defensive day that, pretty much for the whole day, they stuffed those guys all day.
It looked like one of those plays where, you know, suddenly somebody hit a remote control and it didn't look like a regular football play.
I don't know. It sounded like, you know, it looked as if Sessions might have heard a whistle blown or something. Yeah. I couldn't believe because it was a shot that a lot of guys on defense would love to have had.
All right. Next week, Jaguars go to the Big Apple and then they go across the river to New Jersey to take on the Jets. 1 o'clock kickoff on Sunday. Jaguars and Jets. You want to get a little scouting report? You can check out the Jets tonight as they host the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday Night Football. If you're in Jacksonville, stick around. We'll take your calls at 800-355-NFL1 on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show, which is coming up next. For the rest of you, enjoy the week. The Jaguars open the season with a 16-14 victory over the Tennessee Titans in a game that saw Luke McCown complete over 70% of his passes. The Jaguars as a team ran for over 160 yards, and they dominated time of possession nearly 2-1. It was a grinded-out slugfest of a game. And Jack Del Rio will take 15 more of those in a second. Jaguars win it. They lead the division, tied with the Houston Texans after 1 week. Thanks for listening to the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show here on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Perot, play action, steps back in the pocket, being chased, hit, down he goes. Marco Coleman got it. 35-yard line.
Welcome to the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show. Cole Pepper and Marco Coleman will break down today's Jaguars game and take a look around the rest of the NFL as well as take your calls, tweets, and Facebook questions. The Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Sonny's Barbecue, Ticket Exchange, Wells Fargo, Carrie Limousine, your local Jacksonville Teal Deals merchants, and by EverBank.
Let's get the show started.
Here are Marco Coleman and Cole Pepper.
And we welcome you in here on the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show, 800-355-NFL1. If you want to get your voice heard, you can also tweet to me at Cole Pepper if you're the tweeting type. And otherwise, Marco and I will break this one down after the Jaguars' 16-14 victory over the Tennessee Titans. But we like to start things off with Marco's money player. Who was the money player today, Marco?
You got to give it to MJD. I mean, he came in, shown why he's considered the heart and soul of the team. You know, the big time scorer when he comes in. You know, although I may have a little bit of an issue with the pouting when he's not getting the ball, this guy wants the ball. And if he didn't have a guy that had that type of attitude, they'd be in big trouble. He is definitely big-time money playing.
Yeah, and he was the money player today, ranking up 97 yards. I think he wanted that 100-yard game.
Hey, man.
Got a touchdown, which he, of course, happy about. But I he's a guy who's aware of stats. He's a fantasy football guy and so forth. But I don't think it was about the stats so much. He just wants to be in there.
And get the win. You know, I think he understands that this team will go as far as he can take them. He is the key to the winning.
Now, is it a good plan to go in there with, as Jeff Loggan referred to it, a pitch count to keep for a guy coming off an injury like that and a knee surgery to not use him up early on? Or would you rather just ride him as hard as you can, as long as you can, and see how long you can go with him?
Jack realizes that this week was not the week for the 30 carries. But next week, going to New York to play a team that offensively is going to be a lot better. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of the opportunities that were out there for the Titans offense, they couldn't make the most of, but you got a lot more talent in the offense that you're going to face, and it's going to need that same type of ball control where you're going to need MJD in there pretty much all game long.
Next week figures to be maybe the same kind of game, grinded out, slugfest against a physical defense, a great defense. I mean, Jets, number one defense in the league last year, so we'll keep an eye on that. All right, fans, just text BBQ to 72239 and enter for a chance to win the Sonny's Game Ball Delivery Contest. And you could hand the game ball to the ref at the start of the next Jaguars home game. We'll take time out. Your calls when we come back. 800-355-NFL1. 355-6351 as you're enjoying after the game. Drive it home. Drive safely. Or if you're at home listening, have a thought you want to share with us, you can do so. You can also tweet via Twitter to Cole Pepper, C-O-L-E-P-E-P-P-E-R. We'll get those thoughts in. Best of the tweets we'll get on the air as well. Back with more of the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio. We welcome you back to the Winn-Dixie, or rather the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show after the Jaguars win it 16-14. We'll take your calls here at 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. First, an injury update brought to you by Baptist Health, Jacksonville Circle of Care. Derek Cox left the game with ribs. Not the kind of way I would like to leave a game with ribs. It's a blow to the ribs. They're not saying bruised or broken or anything. I don't know. He did not return. It was listed as questionable on the return, and it turned out he did not return. Mm-hmm. Mercedes Lewis initially diagnosed with a cramp. Then there was some thought afterwards that maybe it was a calf strain. They're going to have to take a closer look at it. Those are two guys the Jaguars don't want to lose here.
Definitely need, if nothing else, Mercedes. That's a lot of offense. For those simple type of pass plays that they're having McCown throw, Mercedes is going to be a big target for him.
All right, let's get some calls in here. What do you say?
Let's get it going.
Let's go 355-NFL1, 1-800-355-6351. Keith in Arlington will lead us off here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Keith, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. How you guys doing today?
Good.
What's going on, Keith?
I had a chance to take the family out, enjoy the festivities for the 9/11 memorial. Everything was wonderful with that.
Yeah, that was neat, wasn't it?
But overall, I'm satisfied with the Jaguars' defense. It was 10 times better than last year as far as getting off the field on third and long compared to last year. But what I can't understand is, why does it seem like we go cold when we got a team that we can put away that don't give them any hope of coming back to win this game? It seems like we went a little conservative. I don't know what the outcome of the season is going to be, but when you get a team like that down, you got to go ahead and finish them, and I'm going to take that off the air.
All right, Keith, thanks for the call. I don't agree at all that they went conservative. 16 of their first 20 plays were runs. They were conservative if you think running is conservative and passing is aggressive. I don't think they went conservative. I think they stopped converting. They stopped converting those third downs, and that's what was keeping those drives alive. Jaguars did a very good job on third down game-wide. They were 9 of 18, so 50% you'll take as an offense just about every time. I don't think they went conservative. I think they made, whether it was adjustments or whatever else, or guys getting dinged up or what, but they just didn't make as many plays in the second half on those plays.
Yeah, and Tennessee was forcing them into third and long, and right now you just don't see a lot of confidence, in trying to get those plays, throwing the ball further down the field. The majority of the passes, screens, wide receiver, quick throws, there's only maybe two passes. The big pass to Thomas and, I think the wide open Mercedes. Other than those are like the longest plays. You're talking about 15 yards. Yeah. And really, in today's NFL, those are short passes.
Sure.
They're not going down the field. And until they do that, I think is, long third downs, they're going to have trouble converting.
Yeah, when you gain 5 or 6 yards on first down, and then you can pick up 2 or 3, and you're suddenly looking at a third and short. Hey, you love that situation.
They love it.
I don't think it was about going conservative. Again, I mean, I'm
different circumstance, different situations, you know, that didn't favor the way they were calling the offensive plays.
And if you look at the yards per attempt, which is, you know, some people really like that stat as a way to gauge how aggressive you're getting. The Jaguars averaged 7.3 yards per attempt today in terms of passing, and the Titans averaged 7.7. It doesn't seem like a huge difference, but if you're up over 8, you're talking about being pretty aggressive downfield and completing a lot of passes.
Right.
And that Kenny Britt, well, really anything that Kenny Britt did today made a difference as far as those were concerned. He had 5 catches for 136 yards and 2 touchdowns, so he was really the offense today. On a day when, coming in, who would you have thought would have been the big offensive force for Tennessee?
Johnson.
Chris Johnson.
They shut that down.
And he winds up averaging less than 3 yards per carry. So thanks for the call, Keith. We appreciate it. 355-NFL1, 1-800-355-6351. Let's go to Craig on the north side, who's up next here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Craig, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Right. I actually had an opportunity to go out and enjoy the game with the wife, and I'm a huge Jaguar fan. Also a very huge fan of how the defense is playing, but I'm concerned. I like Rasheen as a person. I've enjoyed him, but I'm concerned that maybe the time has passed, because we almost lost that game because of some bad plays and also him being picked on, which is become like the thing to do with other teams when we play them.
I'm not sure if they were
picking on him.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they were necessarily, and thanks for the call. I'm not sure they were picking on him. In fact, you would think just the opposite would be the case, that when Derek Cox went out, you would pick on the guy who wasn't a starting cornerback. Now, Kenny Britt is a terrific wide receiver. And you talk about the two plays, one where you had a penalty call on Rasheen. You'd like to see that go the other way. The touchdown that Britt made, just a great individual effort.
Great,
he was right there in terms
and
of
throw.
Coverage.
I mean, you know, yeah. Hasselbeck couldn't have thrown it in a better place.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to give the other guy credit for making a play, and I think that was the case as far as that's concerned. I do think we need to see something more out of Rasheen Mathis. In terms of, I'd like to see the playmaking really be an issue. Be interceptions. Let's make some plays, that sort of thing.
I think the thing,
but at the same time, I thought he made some good play in terms of making some tackles.
He came up making some tackles, yeah. But I think the thing that will help him is that being able to get a rush with 4.
Yeah.
Having to bring people out of the secondary and things of that nature. Now you put him out there on that island. And right now, he's been pretty inconsistent when he's out there matched up on these guys. Because the safeties, for one, too, there's a lot of different aspects of it that's hindering, that's not in his favor. The safeties aren't really good free safeties. They don't have the range when balls are in the air to get there. Now, against the run, I think both of those guys are really good, but they could help out some, too.
Lauer is the guy they think can be that free safety, and Prozinski, of course, as well, as he starts to learn the defense as a rookie. Got a tweet from somebody here saying, well, Mathis do something with his hair now that he was slammed to the ground. That was on the 66-yard field goal. And let me just give you just a quick anecdotal story. I was down on the sideline at that point. It was right before the end of the half, and we did our coverage of the halftime ceremony, and I was down there, and that ball had no chance. I've seen some long field goals. We've seen Scobie. We've seen guys kick a – and Baronis has kicked a 60-yarder. That one had no chance to get there. But Mathis makes that pick, and then I'm like, all right, he's going to run it out. Let's see what happens. We've seen these long returns before by a number of guys. And as soon as he went down, I went, the hair.
The hair. At least the guy didn't come out with a handful of it. It's
yeah.
attached.
Yeah, it's all. Yeah, he's not wearing a weave or something in there, right? That's his hair. I would doubt that Rasheen is going to cut his hair just because one guy grabbed him. But it is a legal play. I mean, that's the risk you run when you're going to run the long hair.
Remember how everybody was all over Milli Vanilli with all the long hair? And that's like the thing to do is to look like Milli Vanilli.
Are you saying that Rasheen was lip syncing out there?
He might have been.
Blame it on the rain. All right, 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. We got a Big John who's in the parking lot right now as we speak. Big John, you're up on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show.
Hey, I wanted to know that the good play, it was a great game, and I wanted. And it's pretty cool that Mike Thomas had 2 defenders and he caught that ball.
Yeah.
I was very, very – it was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was a big play in the game there, and at a big time. I mean, they didn't turn out to convert it into touchdowns, but Mike Thomas can make some plays.
Yeah,
he may not be a number one receiver. Maybe he will be, but he makes plays, and is a guy we've seen on third down, end of games, on Hail Marys that are being batted back into the field of play. He has a knack for it.
He's actually becoming a go-to guy, yep, if you could say that. You know, you figure the plays that you mentioned there are all plays that make a huge difference in the game at the end of games. Yep. You know, when they're looking for a play offensively, he's been able to come up with a lot of those big plays. I had to give McCown a lot of credit, too, getting that ball in there. I mean, he threw it where, you know, fortunately, Thomas had some hops.
Yeah.
But it was an outstanding throw. Good play. Way to see him and get that done.
Big John, thanks for the call. I got a tweet here. Why were they so cautious with MJD when he was okay? Said he didn't need it. Okay, and this goes back to the point about the number of touches. And he's coming off, again, remember, he may say, and he will, because he's one of the most competitive guys you'll ever meet, he may say, I'm 100%. And he may be 100%. But you don't need to wear a guy out every single play. He wants the ball all the time. And, Marco, I don't know what your comment is on this. You love a guy who wants to have the ball. But at the same time, if you have able backups, guys who can make some plays, you know, it's not a slap in the face to use somebody else to run the football a few times.
Exactly. He's a competitor, and you expect him to make those type of comments. If he didn't, you would have an issue. But at the same time, at this point in his career, he should have some understanding of the situation and circumstances. You still got 15 more games to go. Now, along with that, the team had the game pretty much under control. Mm-hmm. You know, I was up in the stands, and it was something that was made common to me about why wasn't Maurice in the game. Yeah. I said, why do you put him in the game now? Because if the defense can hold him, this thing is over.
And there was really two drives, right? It was the first time when the Jaguars went out there and Deji caught a pass and ran for 18 yards. It set up the Josh Gobe field goal at the end of the third quarter. Then the next drive, they go out there, and they go three plays and out with Deji out on the field. Maurice went back in the following drive. So, really, it was one drive in the fourth quarter that started in the fourth quarter that he wasn't mm-hmm. in the game for. Deji had 14 carries. Mojo had 24. Again, if there are 30 carries in the game, Maurice wants 30 of them.
Exactly. But in this game, fortunately, it wasn't a lot of things that MJD had to do by himself. Mm-hmm. The offensive line, the fullbacks, the tight ends, they were completely annihilating the Titans' front seven. Yep. It didn't matter who you put back to shoot. Cole, you can go ahead and get the ball. I think you could have got 7 yards a pop on the way these guys were knocking people around. It was because of the control at the line of scrimmage that I'm pretty sure the offensive coaches felt, look, there's no reason to have him out there. Because all it takes is one play,
yep,
and then Maurice, you out for the rest of the season. Yep. And they need him. They're going to need him big time.
No doubt. Especially when you've got Luke McCown, who's
– And they're not throwing the ball down the field.
Right, exactly.
You know, when you got a team that is going to be able to score, you know, fortunately, it was the Tennessee Titans. And that was the key thing there. They're going to have some teams on the schedule where their ball control and having Maurice out there is going to be extremely important.
Next week, by the way, not a high-powered offense. The Jets have, I think you could say, more weapons
playmakers
than mm-hmm. on offense than the Titans do. But they're not loaded up. You know, I mean, Sanchez is a younger quarterback.
And a more stout
Holmes
defense.
Holmes and a terrific defense. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out next week. Bueller Swiss Watch Company is proud to be the official watch of the Jaguars. Bueller Swiss watches are available at Jacobs Jewelry in Jacksonville, Faceted Rainbow in Ocala, Lorraine's Diamond Tree in Middleburg, Treasures Fine Jewelry in Palatka, and J. Carbone Jewelers in Valdosta. More calls when we come back. More tweets as well. 1-800-355-NFL1. The phone number to call, or you can tweet to me at Cole Pepper, Colepepper. Back with more on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show after this timeout on Jaguars Radio. We welcome you back to the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here with you. 800-355-NFL1, the number to call. You can also tweet to me at Cole Pepper, Colepepper, if you have a point you want to get into. Carry of the Day, presented by Waste Pro. Let Waste Pro USA carry the load for you. Who had the carry of the day today, Mr. Coleman?
MJ. D.
Gave Joe Fortunato a fantasy football touchdown.
Really? I mean, MJD coming off the surgery, I think he started the season really well. And hats off, I think, to the coaches, two random men, understanding this is going to be a long haul, and in order for them to get where they need to be, it's going to be through him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he had an outstanding day to get this thing started. I'm looking forward to seeing him again next week. He'll probably be my big money player again next week, knowing MJD.
A chance he could
Last time in the Meadowlands, he made the big boy play, yep, being unselfish.
Right. The kneel down. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, you can see, yeah. So I mean, if there's any doubt about his selfishness, you can just look back to that Jets game a few, you know, yep, past, and how he gave it up. You know, gave up a touchdown, easy touchdown, mm-hmm, for his team to win the game.
By the way, there's a chance we might revisit that on the Rewind segment next weekend. Just a chance. 800-355-NFL1. Let's go to Jason on the west side, who's up here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Jason, how you doing?
What's up, fellas? How are y'all?
Good. Great. What's on your mind?
Good. Even as I bask in glory of the Jaguars run, I just want to say my thoughts and prayers are with all the 911 folks up in New York still struggling with that. But,
amen.
Here's what I got out of today's game. First of all, on offense, I never had a sense of desperation. I felt like they had a good rhythm, even in the part of the game where everybody's saying they went conservative. They really didn't. They were just managing the clock, trying to eat it down while they had a lead. So I thought that was awesome. And again, I never felt like we got so out of sync that if something happened, we couldn't go back down the field and score again. Secondly, on defense, they looked awesome, in my opinion, in comparison to what we've seen the last couple of years. I was kind of in and out watching TV. Did we get a sack today?
I'm sorry?
We got two.
We got two sacks.
Two sacks,
today,
so including the very first play of the game, yeah.
I mean, that's awesome because the last couple of years we've been just screaming, where are they? Well, they happen. I thought, you know, Rasheen had a couple of plays that, you know, people are complaining about. But, you know, at the end of the day, you look at the scoreboard, they held them to, what, 14 points? Is that what it was?
That's right, yep. And one of them wanted just a wacky, wild play.
Ugly play.
Yeah, that was crazy. Shouldn't have even happened. I come away after watching the last couple of years excited. I think here's a question for you guys. Do you think that we would have won with David Garrard? Not saying he's a bad guy, but would we have won with David Garrard if he were our starter today?
Yeah. I mean, I think so. They were running the football.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In my opinion, I don't think there's a whole lot of difference. There is some difference in style, but in terms of expectation of level of play, I don't think there's a huge difference between Garrard and McCown. There are some things that, you know, again, and I don't want to turn this into the you know, quarterback controversy show.
Sure.
But I think Garrard's durability is something he's proven. McCown, I have some concerns about because he's, you know, not as thick a guy as David is, but you know, we'll see how it plays out.
Definitely.
I tell you what was different about it for me. I was a lot more excited watching with McCown calling the shots and having the success than I would have been if I were watching Garrard, because I would have been like, what's it going to look like next week? Or, you know, so I don't know. That's just my personal opinion.
If you don't think what's it going to look like next week after seeing one start from Luke McCown, then
you've got a much
different outlook than I do.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm proud to be positive about next week and looking forward to next week's game instead of worrying about next week's game.
All right,
which was the first thing that would come in my mind after games last year.
I got you. All right, Jason, thanks for the call. 800-355-NFL1. I mean, listen, I'm glad that he's so positive about it. I think it's pretty bold to say, I'm not worried about the quarterback position anymore.
Well, you know, the thing is, you don't have to worry about it when you're able to run the ball like that. Like, again, hats off to those guys in that running game blocking, because, you know, it wasn't much that the running backs had to do but just beat one guy, you know, most of the time is where they were ending up after, you know, from the initial line of scrimmage. But they're going to have to, looking at the schedule and the teams are going to have to play, they're going to have to get, at some point in time, get some down-the-field passing going. Because just doing that, when you get a more stout defensive line and better front seven, which they're going to see in several of these games coming up, they're going to have to be able to keep those guys off balance and being able to have some form of attack down the field.
Yeah, 355-NFL1, 1-800-355-6351. Let's go next to San Marco. Joe is up from San Marco on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard. Joe, how are you?
Hello, I got two comments. Montello was on the last play. By him pinning back the Titans down the first yard line, I think he made a difference.
Yeah, as usual on special teams.
I really think somebody needs to talk about that, because this man has been on special teams and he's been running. And I think he's a hidden talent that nobody's talking about.
I don't think he's that hidden. He went to the Pro Bowl last year.
Well, you know, he is.
Yeah, everybody knows. Yeah, Montel and Kasim Osgood. I mean, listen, again, Gene Smith has told me this on Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith a couple of times here in the preseason. He wants the Jaguars special teams to be the best special teams unit in the league. He thinks they can do that. They have the talent, the ability, the focus, the drive, all of that to be the best special teams unit in the league. And Montel making downing that ball on the Matt Turk
punt.
It
was a good punt also. You have to give some to Turk for actually placing it
there. I got another question. Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. When was the last time the Jaguars held a lead in the first quarter and held the lead the whole game? Do you know what year that was?
I have to bust out some research.
Yeah, that's
but
a good one, though. You had an answer?
It's been a long time, hasn't it?
I don't know. I mean, it may have happened last year.
It might have been last year. Yeah, I can see that. I have to look at some of the games. But I think they done that last season a few times.
Yeah, that's, again, my end. Thanks a lot for the call, Joe. That's not the sort of thing that I grab onto and remember. We'll see if what we can do a little research and find out for sure. Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. We'll take time out. More calls, more tweets when we come back. Quick tweet here from one listener asking about Mercedes' injury status. Originally diagnosed as a cramp, then maybe a calf strain. And that's as much as we know at this point. Tune in on Monday to Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith. We'll get you the very latest at that point. 355-NFL-1, 1-800-355-6351. More to come on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show right here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back, Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman, and a full line of callers ready to go. When you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart, 6 Jacksonville locations. Stein Mart, more fashion, less price. I'm just checking out the Twitterverse here, Marco. A sampling of some of the tweets from some of the Jaguars players. Mercedes Lewis, nothing is sweeter than a victory. Jag fans, you were awesome today in the heat. Thank you all. Hashtag on to the next.
On to the
I
next.
I like that one. Mike on Thomas, to the next. Appreciate all of the love and support. A good win for us with much work ahead. Eugene Monroe, special shout out to all of our fans, our 12th man today. And then I think my favorite one so far has been Will Rackley. 1-0, hashtag that is all. The rookie, good tweet
he
from the rookie.
He kind of struggled a little. I mean, I guess moving from, I guess he played tackle when he was in college. You know, you've seen that he still has some work to do. I think as the year goes on, he'll be more comfortable because the sack, he gave up a sack, a couple holding calls, missed some tackles around on the pools. But, again, work in progress, I guess you could say.
And by the way, also, I want to leave out Uche Nwaneri. Boy, it was a good win today. It was a boiler room out there, and we watched them melt all game long. Which may have been the case, although the way things, look at the scoring, Tennessee scored much more late than they did early, but didn't get a lot done overall offensively. The Tides really just one sustained drive all game long. 355-NFL-1, 1-800-355-6351. Let's go to Matt, who's up on St. Simon's Island. Matt, you're up on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. How are you?
Good. Hey, I was wondering, are they ever going to let Luke McMillan actually throw the ball downfield rather than 2 to 3 yard passes?
I'm certain they won't. They may at some point let Luke McCown throw the ball downfield, though.
Got to get his name together. I jacked it up, too. Yeah. I mean, and I was watching some announcers on all during the week. Said this man's name correctly.
McCown said that he gets confused for Cade McNown, for his brothers, who both of his brothers played college football, and one brother played pro. So, Luke McCown.
Oh, he's going to have to do something to where we can remember his name. Right. That's what he's going to have to do.
I don't think anybody's calling him McNabb yet. So, and that's a positive form. At some point, certainly, you're going to have to throw the ball down the field.
They're going to have to.
Yeah.
But if you were the offensive coordinator going into this game, your expectation for style of game was going to be hard nose, smash mouth, grind it out kind of game. Keep it simple. Figure that the Titans, if you feel good about your defense, what the Jaguars coaches and players have been saying, they feel good about the defense this year, that it's not going to take a lot. So you do things that are going to be safe, that are going to keep McCown, get him in a rhythm early on, run the football, play that short passing game. So my expectation is, you'll see more downfield as the year goes on. But today, it was... There are a lot of reasons for keeping it.
The reality of it is the team is not built. Whether David was in there or the team is not built. The offense is not built to be a down the field passing team. Right. The wide receivers aren't really those type of guys. The offensive line, they can't block, other than throwing quick passes. So it's going to be everything's predicated off of the running game. Yeah. Everything.
And do you think Rasheen Mathis is going to really start getting into a rhythm of tackling the guy rather than just kind of going after him and then having somebody else come clean it up?
He actually did a good job of tackling today. I thought he, you know, in times past. So, I mean, I think, in Rushing's defense, when you're playing in the secondary, it's not always his fault. You know, it depends upon the coverage that's being called. Sometimes a linebacker is supposed to be in a better position, or a safety should be, to where you just see him as the person that ends up making a tackle or missing the tackle, to make us think that it's his fault, but it's not always the case.
And sometimes it's and thanks for the call, Matt. We appreciate it. Sometimes it's the case where it's about the scheme or the time of the point in the game. And I'll give you an example. Last drive there, they completed an 18-yard pass on a little maybe a skinny post or an inside play to Kenny Britt, and Rasheen is on him. But Rasheen is shading to the outside because they don't want him to let him get out of bounds.
Exactly.
They'll allow an inside catch, but you
just
don't want to let
keep
the clock run and let the clock be your ally. So for whatever reason here over the last couple of years, Rasheen Mathis has become a guy really in the crosshairs. And you know, one of the things to consider, number one, who else is going to go in there? I mean, the Jaguars right now have two starting cornerback level players. You've got Coleman, who's a good nickel back type,
right,
but more I think has a not as much of a lock on one on one coverage guy. It's not like Mathis is a terrible player. Yes, you'd like him to be more physical sometimes. Although I didn't think his effort in terms of physical was a problem today.
Not at all.
But for some reason, I mean, over the last year or so, he's been just elevated on the list of the guy in the crosshairs for Jaguars fans, and I don't really get it.
He just seems to always be in the frame when somebody scores a touchdown for some reason. It's not always his fault. He has gave up some touchdowns,
sure, yeah.
But if you would ask, you know, Mel Tucker, you know, how he feels about Rasheen Mathis, he would hold him in the highest regard. You know, he's definitely a solid defensive back, a Pro Bowler, and I'm gonna tell you, he's going to make some plays this season. He's good for some interceptions. So if you keep on throwing that ball out there at him, we're going to be really happy on a couple of these Sundays the way he gets some turnovers.
Yeah,
also,
there are some defensive backs who have, you know, waffle makers on the end of their hands. That's not the case with Rasheen. I mean, he can make a pick. We know
yes,
that.
He can.
You know, I'd like to see a few of those. You know, in some key times here as well. 800-355-NFL1 355-6351. Let's go to Chad at the beach. Who's up next on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show? Chad, how you doing?
Hey, Cole, how you doing? I'm a Jacksonville native, and I just got back from the game, and on my way back home, driving all the way from the stadium out to the beaches, listened to some of the callers, and I got a little bit of confusion. All I heard about was how conservative we've been and having used mojo, and the last time we held a lead, which, you know, Buffalo, we were down, I think, 10-0 last year, but we pretty much dominated that game. In Dallas, we dominated, yep, and we were in the lead from the beginning. And then talking about Sheen and just negative. I'm just curious because I am a little confused. What was the final score today?
Yeah, let me look that up here. Let me check.
Thank you.
It was a 16-14 Jaguars win.
Okay, because this city and what we're going through with the problems that we're having with ticket sales, these people, most of the callers that I'm guessing were at the game, and just to say that is the percentage or the sample that we have to go from. If we have that kind of negativity in the stadium, I can't imagine how we're ever going to get past this and be able to keep this team. I'll take your comments off there.
All right, thanks for the call. Well, I will tell you this: I don't disagree with you totally in terms of your general thesis there, but also let me just tell you, after having done this, not this specific show for 20 years, but having been in this business for 20 years, folks don't call up and often and say, hey, you know, this was great, thanks, loved it. You just celebrate it. You call in and you have a problem or you have a question or you think this needs to be better, and that's fine. I mean, that's just the way it's going to be. Anybody who was out of the game today, we had a call, it was either last week or 2 weeks ago in a preseason game, somebody complaining about, you know, why would you buy a ticket to see this stuff? Could anybody who was at the stadium today say anything other than it was absolutely worth it to be out there at the stadium? Beautiful day, Jaguars win, a wonderful. I mean, listen, all across the league they're doing things to recognize the 10th anniversary of 9/11. But hats off to Kirk Weisenbaugh and his group who did just a terrific job of coordinating the special events. You had the firefighters out there with the big flag. You had the card stunt with the United We Stand. You had the paratroopers coming in. You had
flyover was great.
The flyover, God bless America. The servicemen and women walking out in the USA. I mean, it was more than worth it today to be out there with a ticket. And yeah. And if you, you know, listen, not every day is going to be opening day and 9/11 10th anniversary. I get that, but the if the Jaguars win ugly, and you get the rest of the game day experience is what it was today, you can't complain at all. I mean, in terms from a value standpoint and that sort of thing, you can complain about this guy didn't make a play or that guy needs to be better or why didn't we do
that's
this?
That's going to be every week,
and that's fine. And I don't, and I'm not against finding things that were wrong when you win and finding things that were right when you lose, because you have to balance it out a little bit.
Because at this point in the season, you got a lot more football to play. And, you know, like I said, for opening day, this was outstanding. The way they won, they did it in the fashion in which we've identified the team over the past few years. So you got to be completely excited about that. But at the same time, you have to look at who they played and look at what they got coming down the road. But being excited that, hey, they start off and they're tied for first place in a division and 1-0 right now.
You know, in baseball, we love to do this. Talk about, the, you know, after the first month of the season, this guy is on pace to do this. Or after, you know, first quarter of the season, this guy's on pace to do this. The Jaguars are on pace to go 16-0.
There they are.
Just going to put that out. Let's take time out. Back with more of the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show. A few more of your calls and tweets as well. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. We're back with the final segment of the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show right here on Jaguars Radio. We welcome you back to the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show following the Jaguars' season-opening victory, 16-14 over the Tennessee Titans. Chance for a couple more calls here, 800-355-NFL1. Let's go to Carlos, who is on the road. Carlos, turn that radio down, and you're up on the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show.
Hey, guys, thank you for the call. Thanks for the patriotism on the country and the Jacksonville Jaguars. I've been following this team since the first snap back in the mid-90s, and my call today, I don't want to take anything away from the sweet win we had today. However, on that last drive, we've been playing conservative football all game long, and it was a minute 56. The Titans have no timeouts. We are 3rd and 5. And we went with a pass play that could have been disastrous.
Yeah. I didn't like the decision. I was okay with the decision to throw it. I was not crazy about throwing it to a backup fullback lined up outside.
Not at all. I think there could have been a different selection as to the personnel in which we, you know, the attempt was made to.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely.
You know,
keep running the clock. It's my word.
Yeah, but I think they had a pretty long – it was, you know, distance. It was like third and five
at the 47. Yeah. So now, Carlos, you're right in that the if they would have just run it, the clock would have kept going. But if you know, 3rd and 5 is a tough one to do that. And you know, you're probably going to be at worst they're going to get the ball at the 20-yard line coming back after a punt if you punt it through the end zone. So I didn't so much mind going for a pass. I just didn't like throwing it to a backup tight end or backup fullback rather split out wide. You mentioned earlier, find your big time players. Now Mercedes is in the locker room at that time dealing with cramps, and Mike Thomas out there.
You still could have brung MJD in just to go ahead and ice the game. So there were some options to do that. Now this whole thing about being conservative, I think all the fans should recognize the identity of this team. Mm-hmm. It's run first. And then short passing. They're not
and right running now, is not always conservative.
It's not necessarily conservative, and it's in the type of passing plays, they're doing it to the strength of what they have. They don't have an outstanding pass protecting offensive line where they can jump back and shotgun and sit back there 7 to 10 yards deep and have the type of time to wait for guys to get open way down the field. They're not built for that.
Yep.
And so we're gonna see the same type of offensive plays throughout the season.
All right, let's appreciate the call, Carlos. Thanks a lot. 355-NFL1, 1-800-355-6351. Let's go to Rebecca from Orange Park, who's up next here on the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show. Rebecca, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thank you. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
Yeah.
Well, I just first off wanted to say that my husband and I went to the game today and had a great time. And I'll tell you, the opening ceremonies where they were, you know, where the taps was played and, you know, the flyover, it was just, it just brought it home for me today personally with the, you know, the 10th anniversary of 9/11. It just, you know, you watch all these things on TV and it, the rehashes, and then when you're there and just the intense emotion of the fans around you, and I just thank you for that, because it just, it was just an incredible way to celebrate our beautiful country.
Yeah, we had that. And you had the halftime ceremony with the bagpipes and playing Amazing Grace, and you had, you know, during the game you had one of the families there on the field from one of our military servicemen, and they surprised him by bringing him in, and the flyover. I mean, as I said earlier, you could, it would be difficult for me to imagine somebody being unmoved by everything that happened today.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure all the fans being in the stadium, they couldn't see what was actually on national television. How they did a great job of having it timed to where they were going to all the 1 o'clock games, mm-hmm. and they caught everyone with, right in the middle of what the players standing there and the national anthem being played. That was pretty outstanding. Also, that, you know, hats off to the networks and getting all that done too.
And I also wanted to thank your radio station, because my husband won tickets, and you all were kind enough to have that contest. So thank you.
There we go. All right. Glad we got
have.
Yeah, glad we could take care of you on that.
You did. You guys rock it out. So thank you.
All
and
right.
God bless America.
Amen, Rebecca. Thank you very much. That's a good thing. Way to wrap things up, I think, isn't it?
There
I don't
it
think
is.
We're going to do any better than that. So for those of you who are hanging on the line, sorry we can't get you. We do have to call it a night. Jaguars win it, though, 16-14, the victory over the Tennessee Titans. The start of the year 1-0. The Luke McCown era is underway.
Big Luke. We got to give him a nickname, because we're going to have to get it to where people know who
they
Mr.
Call him,
Mr. McCown
yeah.
is. Luke McCown.
They call him Ball Out Luke because he gets the ball out there in a hurry. The Jaguars win it 16-14 over the Tennessee Titans. Next week, it's a trip to the Meadowlands to take on the New York Jets, a physical team to be sure. And a team that had great success last year, a defensive-minded team, defensive-minded coach. Expect another slugfest next year. This week, more on the Jaguars coming up Monday. Tomorrow, Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith. The GM joins me at 6 o'clock. Then the Jack Del Rio Show on Tuesday at 6 with Brian Sexton and the head coach. Then Brian is joined by Jeff Loggeman and John Osher and Tony Baselli. Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna Wednesday at 6 o'clock as well. Right here, tune in all week. We'll keep you updated with the very latest on the Jaguars as they try to stay unbeaten and atop the division. For Marco Coleman, for Ed Rocco, for Linda Fortunato, Cole Pepper saying thanks for listening, and good night from Jaguar Central.